Tonight, what did President Trump know and when did he know about Michael Flynn lying to the FBI? And could one of his new tweets be used against him? A storm of controversy as the president's lawyer now says a president cannot obstruct justice. Also tonight, President Trump endorses Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. And hours later, new evidence from a woman who says she dated Roy Moore when he was 34 and she was 17. Moore later claimed he didn't know her. Breaking news from the Supreme Court, allowing the president's travel ban to be fully enforced. A blockbuster deal that could affect your health care, what CVS buying Aetna could mean for how much you pay for prescription drugs. A medical miracle, the first baby born in the U.S. to a woman who underwent a womb transplant.
After all that I've delivered, this is probably the most special one.
And new salvo in the diet wars, a big name adds hundreds of foods you can eat with no guilt. Can you really lose weight that way?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. Has President Trump tweeted himself into legal trouble? That question had Washington abuzz today, just 3 days after former Trump National Security Advisor Mike Flynn admitted to lying to the FBI and agreed to cooperate in the Russia investigation. In a tweet over the weekend, the president for the first time publicly said he fired Flynn in part because he lied to the feds. If true, that frames an intriguing new timeline that some tonight argue puts Mr. Trump in some legal jeopardy of his own. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has details.
The president today, 2,000 miles from Washington, but unable to escape serious questions about what he knew and when about his former national security advisor's lies to the FBI. The president simply saying he feels badly for Michael Flynn.
Hillary Clinton lied many times to the FBI. Nothing happened to her. Flynn lied and they destroyed his life. I think it's a shame.
Setting aside that James Comey testified Hillary Clinton didn't lie to the FBI, the focus now, did President Trump obstruct justice and could this tweet be used against him? Quote, I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. The problem? If the president knew Flynn lied to the FBI, and if he did later ask Comey to lay off Flynn, like Comey says, but which the president denies, he could open himself up to accusations of obstruction of justice, charges some Democrats are already raising.
There is a credible case of obstruction of justice against Donald Trump.
Now, a new and controversial defense from the president's personal lawyer. John Dowd tells NBC News he's the one behind the president's tweet, that it's ignorant to say the tweet admitted obstruction. And going even further, he says a president cannot obstruct justice at all because he has every right to express his view of any case. Experts say Dowd may have a legal argument, but politically, a president could still be in trouble. Just ask Richard Nixon or Bill Clinton, who faced impeachment by Congress for obstruction.
The president may not be able to be prosecuted while in office, but it's absolutely relevant whether or not he committed obstruction of justice.
So where does all this go next? That depends on what Mike Flynn is sharing. Convicted, but cooperating. And there's a different tweet that has the president facing fire, too, after he went after the FBI, after reports an agent was taken off the special counsel investigation for sending anti-Trump texts. The president tweeted, the FBI's reputation is in tatters. Lester.
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight. Thank you. With just over a week to go until that critical Alabama special Senate election, President Trump has given his full endorsement to Republican Roy Moore, who has been accused of sexual misconduct by multiple women, including with an underage teen. And tonight, one of his accusers is coming forward with what she calls new evidence. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Alabama with Moore.
Go get him, Roy. That's what Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore says President Trump told him today by phone.
I said that, you know, I support his making America great again. And
the president's most robust endorsement of the controversial former judge facing multiple allegations of sexual misconduct, including with a 14-year-old girl almost 40 years ago.
Look, he denies it.
After previously offering cautious support, today the president tweeted, Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama.
I do not know any of these women
One woman, Debbie Gibson, who claims Moore dated her when she was 17 and he was in his 30s, now offering new evidence to the Washington Post that they did know each other, a signed card.
I know that you'll be a success in anything you do.
Much like Mr. Trump, who, as a candidate, was accused by more than a dozen women of sexual assault or misconduct,
we can stand up.
Moore remains defiant.
In fact, I owe nothing to anybody, contributors or anybody else, only to the people of Alabama.
Democrat Doug Jones now trailing Moore by 6 percentage points in one recent poll.
Roy Moore is nowhere to be seen. Still under wraps.
71% of Alabama Republicans say they do not believe Roy Moore's accusers. Pastor David Ganella and his congregation are furious with not just Democrats, but establishment Republicans.
I said they're a bunch of sissies. They cave in so easily.
Washington is not going to tell Alabama what to do.
Tomorrow, former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon will campaign for Moore here in Alabama. And on Friday, President Trump will hold a rally in Pensacola, Florida, near the state line. No word yet if Moore himself will attend. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. There is late word of a victory at the Supreme Court for the Trump White House, the court allowing the administration to enforce the latest version of its travel ban while challenges to it move forward. NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams is outside the Supreme Court and has details. Pete, good evening.
Lester, this means that overseas family members of people in the U.S. who were exempt from the travel ban are now subject to it. This latest version announced in September applies mainly to travelers from Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen. In response to challenges, lower courts said it could not be applied against people who have family members here. But tonight, the court has lifted that exemption. Only two justices, Ginsburg and Sotomayor, dissented. So this could be a sign that this latest version of the travel ban will survive a Supreme Court challenge when it gets here early next year, Lester.
Pete Williams at the Supreme Court, thank you. The president traveled to Utah today to announce he's dramatically scaling back two national monument sites. He's rolling back federal protections on some 2 million acres of land from the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante monuments, which were designated by Presidents Obama and Clinton. Many conservatives consider the monuments a federal land grab and applaud the move, but environmentalists are vowing to sue. Now to a blockbuster deal that could affect how millions of people pay for prescription drugs. CVS, the pharmacy chain, agreeing to buy Aetna, the health insurance giant, in a deal worth $69 billion. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent takes a look at what it could mean for you and your family at the pharmacy counter.
It's a landmark merger that could change the way millions of Americans get health care and prescription drugs. CVS agreeing to buy Aetna for $69 billion means, for the first time ever, one company will own and control an insurance provider, a retail pharmacy chain, and a pharmacy benefit manager, which negotiates the price and discounts for your prescription drugs.
It's really the perfect time to bring these two companies together to create a new healthcare platform that can be easier to use and less expensive for consumers.
The combined company will operate nearly 10,000 CVS pharmacies and clinics like this one. CVS plans to turn them into one-stop shopping for patients.
You'll find more primary care services from Aetna's network, wellness centers, and your pharmacy all in one place. CVS will continue to serve customers with other insurance, too. It sounds convenient, but will it save you money?
Maybe they get some more negotiating leverage and they can try to drive some healthcare costs down.
Experts also say this mega merger will mean less competition overall, which limits choice for consumers. The deal comes as Amazon prepares to enter the prescription drug market. The e-commerce giant has already received approval for wholesale pharmacy licenses in 15 states, potentially disrupting how you get your drugs and driving prices lower. A major shift in how your health care is delivered that could affect the price you pay. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Now to the fight over your taxes in Congress. With the GOP-controlled House and Senate having passed their sweeping tax plans, Republicans are now racing to merge those two tax plans together and send a bill to President Trump to sign before the end of the year. Our Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt has the new details.
At stake tonight, every American family's bottom line.
We're now one huge step closer to delivering to the American people the historic tax relief as a giant present for Christmas.
The nearly 500-page tax bill passed the Senate early Saturday morning without a single Democratic vote.
Can you tell me what that word is?
If you itemize your deductions, your taxes are going up. If you pay a lot in state and local taxes, your taxes are going up.
Under the bill, most American families will see their individual tax rate go down. But whether your family wins or loses will depend on your circumstances. Americans who could do better under this tax bill include families with children who will see a higher child tax credit, wealthy Americans who will avoid the estate tax if the House has its way.
People who don't itemize have a distinct advantage, and that will be helpful to them.
Whose side are you on?
Protesters at the Capitol today trying to draw attention to those who could lose out. Americans in high-tax states who will likely lose their state and local income tax deduction. Graduate students who could owe the IRS thousands more. And Americans who could see their health insurance premiums go up if the Senate's repeal of the individual mandate stays in the final bill. The House and the Senate plan to hold a conference committee to reconcile the differences between the two bills starting this week in a race against the clock with unpredictable consequences for families and Republicans in Congress.
Donald Trump and GOP leadership in Congress never sold this tax bill to the American people because it is designed to benefit businesses.
Republicans are scrambling to pass not just this tax bill, but also to hammer out a complex spending deal. Leaders from both parties are going to head to the White House on Thursday to try to hammer that out because government funding runs out on Friday. Lester.
Casey Hunt at the Capitol. Thank you, Casey. After a warmish start to December across much of the country, temperatures are about to take a dive. Cold Arctic air will drop into the U.S. later this week, and high temperatures could even fall below average. And forecasters say look out for light snow in the Northeast late Friday into Saturday. Overseas, the U.S. is making a major show of force to North Korea with hundreds of planes, including two dozen radar-evading stealth jets, taking part in war games with South Korea. It comes less than a week after Kim Jong-un's regime launched an intercontinental ballistic missile it claims could hit anywhere in the U.S. mainland. But tonight, an NBC News exclusive report reveals a sophisticated weapon proponents say the U.S. could use to disable North Korea's missiles. We get details from NBC News senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden.
Two government officials tell NBC News that White House officials have been informed about a sophisticated weapon advocates believe could stop North Korean missiles. This declassified animation shows how the technology works. A missile flying over its target. Inside, the microwave weapon, sending out lightning bolts of energy, frying electronics below. This video shows the result of an actual test. Computers shutting down.
Well, think about, like, when you put a something in your microwave that actually has some metal on it, you know how badly that can go. Imagine directing those microwaves at someone's electronics.
This technology absolutely works.
Mary Lou Robinson is chief of high-power electromagnetics at the Air Force Research Laboratory in New Mexico. She supervised a series of tests.
It did exactly what we predicted it was going to do, and that was a huge success for us.
General David Deptuler, who ran the air wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, calls the weapon an excellent one, as do four other current military officials we spoke with.
Command and control centers are filled with electronic infrastructure, which is highly vulnerable to high-powered microwaves.
We asked General Deptuler if the weapon could disable a ballistic missile on a North Korean launch pad.
Quite possibly, yes.
So if it's so good, why isn't it out there? What's the holdup?
The challenges are less technical and more mental. The tendency within the Pentagon is oftentimes to continue to try and perfect something. My tendency is to say, hey, we've got some things that really work. Let's take those things and put them into the hands of our men and women in uniform.
Although one serious concern is that the cruise missile carrying the weapon would have to fly relatively close to the target inside North Korea, which could be seen as an act of war.
But Lester, proponents point out while the weapon destroys electronics, it does not harm humans. And they say while it is not currently operational, it could be quickly. Tonight, no official comment from the White House.
But again, a non-lethal solution.
That's what they say.
All right, Cynthia, thank you. Still ahead, medical miracle. The first time this breakthrough procedure has led to success in the U.S., giving new hope to women who've been told they can never have children. Back now to tell you about a miracle of modern medicine, the first baby born in the U.S. to a woman who underwent a successful uterus transplant. It's a breakthrough that could help tens of thousands of women, many of whom have been told that giving birth would be impossible. Here's NBC's Morgan Radford.
A bouncing baby boy, who some are calling a medical miracle. The first child born in the U.S. to a mother with a transplanted uterus. She didn't want her identity known, but doctors at Baylor University in Dallas shared her joy.
There was something so exciting about this because the patients are so excited. After all that I've delivered, this is probably the most special one.
Doctors say 1 in 500 women are infertile, either because they were born without a uterus or had it removed because of cancer or some other complication. Since 2014, 8 babies have been born via transplant in Sweden. Emily Erickson used her mother's uterus to give birth to her son.
There was a small chance for me to get pregnant, so I took it.
4 previous attempts in the U.S. have failed after 9 patients completed the procedure. The surgery itself is high risk and largely covered by research funds. The transplants are temporary, left in place just long enough for the patient to have 1 or 2 children.
What type of hope does this offer for women in the U.S.?
It opens up new doors. They may have a chance to achieve pregnancy on their own without a surrogate or without adoption.
A breakthrough procedure signaling a new frontier for medicine and new hope for families. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
Coming up here tonight, dramatic changes for Weight Watchers. Spend less time counting points while eating foods you love. We're back now with a surprise move by one of the nation's most popular weight loss programs, Weight Watchers, adding hundreds of foods to its zero smart points category, meaning the items are free to eat without guilt. It's a new salvo in the diet wars, a $66 billion industry. NBC's Miguel Almaguer explains.
I love bread.
The announcement by Weight Watchers, targeting the 71% of adults in the U.S. who are overweight or obese, says its members can now eat 200 more items, foods like eggs, seafood, and non-fat yogurt, guilt-free. The rollout just in time to appease the appetite of those looking to lose weight at the start of the new year. Weight Watchers is hoping to lure back the members it's lost. Oprah Winfrey, who bought a stake in the company, praised the move and says, I thought it was too good to be true.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Wow, 200 foods with 0 points. 0 points doesn't mean 0 calories.
You can lose weight simply with Jenny.
With companies like Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem competing for a piece of the pie, an estimated 97 million Americans are trying to lose weight today. Those New Year's resolutions are right around the corner. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, New York.
The farewell didn't go as planned for Detroit's Pontiac Silverdome. The first implosion attempt was a lot of sound and fury, but the stadium was still standing yesterday due to a reported wiring issue. But take two went better today, toppling the Detroit Lions' former home. Watch this in a matter of seconds. Up next, as we continue from the heart, the enormous outpouring of support for a city touched by tragedy. Finally tonight, heartfelt messages of hope for Las Vegas. Thousands upon thousands of notes of support, along with some hometown heroes banding together for a benefit concert in a city still healing after October's mass shooting. Our Joe Fryer has tonight's Inspiring America report.
In a place known for diamonds, clubs, and spades, more than ever, Las Vegas is betting on hearts. The city has been flooded with hearts found on thousands of notes sent here from across the world following the mass shooting in October. Artist J.K. Russ is now using those messages to create what will become a giant art installation.
I couldn't ask for more amazing material to work with. It's very special.
In so many ways, art is helping this city heal. It's why some of Vegas's biggest acts held a concert with all the proceeds going to victims.
We're honored to be a part of it.
Among the performers, hometown musicians, The Killers.
This is my home, and I feel connected to it, and I'm proud to be from here.
Pride also swelled from another local band, Imagine Dragons.
This event is to prove that there's so many more good people in the world than there is bad.
It wasn't just your hometown, it was a music concert.
You can't help but be angry a little bit and hurt.
No individual will ever put fear into our hearts about gathering together in places like this, united, celebrating life.
Some attending this concert were also at the show in October, including Tony Gonzalez.
I love concerts. I didn't want something like that to stop me from ever going to another concert, so this is my first attempt.
A city showing its resilience and its heart. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Las Vegas.
We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.